The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Ministries.
We have to agree that he's good, and he is, and he's better than we know. And if we think that he's good, he's even better than that. But there's a profound privilege that we have in the fact that we can spend time talking to him in conversation. And often people struggle with the initial thought of that, only in regards to the fact that, well, wait a minute, I don't hear him back. And, how do you talk to a God when you're not sure if you hear him? But I got to say to you, first of all, believe and know that he's good, and then leave it up to him to begin to develop in you the capacity to hear his voice. The heart that longs for him will indeed be found by him.
Are there keys for unlocking a potential encounter with God for each and every one of us? Are there things that we should do or things that we should recognize that will bring an encounter with God like those experienced in the Bible? Coming up next on Sought Out Radio, we discuss what it takes to unlock a potential encounter with God in your life. Is it true that God will move and have an encounter with each and every one of us? We'll find out, because that's coming up next right here on Sought Out Radio. So we welcome you to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Rote, and I'm joined once again by Sought Out Ministry leader Herb Marks, who joins us via Skype today.
Hey, Mark. Good to be with you.
So, and listeners, we want to thank you as well, once again, for your consistent listening and your support to Sought Out Radio. We could not do it without your prayer, your covering, and your support. It means so much to us, and we're so blessed by each and every ear and listener that's out there who regularly tunes in to Sought Out Radio, as we really love to talk about encounters with the Holy Spirit. And what a great segue, Herb, for today's program, as we discussed in our pre-production meeting prior to going on the air. And that was, how do we unlock the potential for encounters in our life? And we all want to have God encounters, and we hear about this stuff. And let's just go back to the Word of God for a minute, Herb. And I just really feel a lot of life on the idea of, we all open up the Bible and we look at these tremendously profound supernatural encounters that people had with God. The burning bush, the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan, getting water from a rock, following the fire by night and the cloud by day, getting fed manna. You know, I could go on, and I think about all these things that God did, and they were all supernatural encounters that men and women and children had with a living God. And I think we all look at those like we're reading a novel today. And I don't mean that for everybody. Of course, there are many of us that have experienced supernatural encounters, but there's a lot of people, we don't want to leave them behind. We've been there. We've received some of these encounters ourselves, Herb. And I think there's some keys to things that we can do and position things that we have to position. And you and I were talking about what some of those things were for unlocking the potential for encounters. And we don't guarantee these things create the potential. They don't create the encounters themselves, but I think they're things that we can do that will create an environment that's maybe greater for that. Would you agree?
Well, there certainly is. And the very first step that comes to my mind is something we all know, and that is that he's a good God, and he rewards them who diligently seek him. And so when we take a look at that portion of Scripture, the fact is that we have to agree that he's good, and he is, and he's better than we know. And if we think that he's good, he's even better than that. But there's a profound privilege that we have in the fact that we can spend time talking to him in conversation. And often people struggle with the initial thought of that, only in regards to the fact that, well, wait a minute, I don't hear him back. And, how do you talk to a God when you're not sure if you hear him? But I got to say to you, first of all, believe and know that he's good, and then leave it up to him to begin to develop in you the capacity to hear his voice. The heart that longs for him will indeed be found by him. In Jeremiah 29, you know, it's a really popular passage. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. But the very next verse after that is just as profound, and that is that if you seek him with all of your heart, the promise is that you'll be found by him. It's as if, though, God will get in your way to be sure that you come into an encounter with him. So, you know, I just want to say to you, believe that he's good. He rewards them who diligently seek him. And the promises of God are all throughout Scripture. So when we talk about, Mark, the very first question that you have about how do you posture yourself to encounter him, you know, I've seen where when you want him, he makes sure that you get him. I mean, look at the story. Young Daniel, he begins to hear God's voice. God is calling him, and he runs to his mentor, the priest Eli. Eli doesn't get it right away, but eventually he does. And he says, now listen, when you go back to bed this time, say these words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And it was a transfer, as it were. It was a transition from coming out of being mentored. Now God was going to be speaking to him directly rather than through the mentor. And there is a process. But the fact is that God stood there calling as at other times. God's faithful. He will make sure that you begin to hear his voice and in the encounters. Because truly, look at the example of the one I just mentioned to a young Samuel. He made his bed next and near to the Ark of the Covenant. He longed, and he positioned himself where the presence of God was. In other words, I want to say this to all of us. You want him. You long for his presence. You take time in prayer. Share your heart and watch what he will do. He responds, and he is faithful.
That is so good. You know, I was, when we were praying earlier, Herb, I heard the words love language. And it immediately,
love language.
Yes, and it immediately made me think about the five love languages that I think, I don't remember where they came from, maybe been Gary Smalley 30 years ago, but there were five love languages that exist between couples that we all possess, some greater than others. And those are gifts, acts of service, quality time, touch, and words of affirmation. And I started thinking about, what is God's love language? When it comes to me towards him, what is his love language? And I started thinking about those. Well, when it comes to gifts, he, you know, time, talent, treasure, he wants me to give of myself. He wants me to be a giver, to be a joyful giver. He wants my time. He's a jealous God. He wants me to serve.
That's really good.
Yeah, he wants me to serve others. I can bless him by touching others, by being able to be touched and to touch others by showing our love for one another. And then finally, words of affirmation, which I think are so key, is to build up, to edify, to encourage the church, to encourage people around us. As a manager, I sometimes find myself in a situation where I have people around me who are not believers, but I step into the prophetic realm and speak words of affirmation over them that are about their identity, and I can totally see the atmosphere and the environment change around me, both as me responding towards my managers in the business realm, and it can be outside the business realm as well, but also towards people that work for me. And all of a sudden, I can see how people become softer, they position themselves, they're more willing to hear you, and they're receptive to you. And it's not manipulation. We've got to be really key on that, clear on that. These are not words that are given to schmooze and to manipulate others, but they are to speak life over them. And these are the things that change the environment around us. And I believe
what you're doing, Mark, is you're bringing value.
Yes.
you are valuing them, and that's God's heart towards people, is that He pours His whole value system. And you mentioned five love languages, and all of those are meant to express and to cause there to be just a blossoming in relationship. And I want to say to you too, Marcus, when you were talking about words of affirmation, how about in worship towards God?
Yes.
Where you're giving back, you know, in worship, and, you know, as you love Him back in the way that you just share with Him as a son to a father. You know, and that's what worship is in the church, who worships God. God is attracted to worship. So you mentioned five love languages, and I was thinking quietly, those are the five attributes or responses of an interactive God.
Exactly. Those
us,
they are God.
To Him.
All five of them.
You take that and you put it out on a horizontal plane amongst relationships with people, and you'll see how the beauty of life just really blossoms around people. I think of a gentleman at where I work, and any time I give him a compliment, the guy just really, you know, responds to that. And so I'm careful. I give it because it values him, and I'm making sure I'm not using it for my own advantage, because I just discovered his primary love language. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to guard him, but build him up and continue to deposit into him, you know.
Well, I think it's the part of our walk that is, as we begin to step into the realm of our identity and being able to, I think, become more seers. And I say that with the scriptures behind me, because as we know, Paul encouraged that, he says, that he desires that everybody would prophesy. And part of prophesying is seeing. And as a seer, you can look into people and you can see the things, the quality things that they are made of, that God deposited in them. And it's very easy to reach into people if we're willing to, and we can pull that out. Proactively, we can begin to pull that out and encourage people. So,
well, you definitely are carrying the heart of the Father, because He will give us insight if it's really in our bent, in our heart, in our motive to value people, that they might prosper, that they might increase. And so all of a sudden you find that the kingdom of heaven is favoring you with the ability to add to people's value.
Yeah, and
I
think,
believe it or not, the fact is that they're drawn to that.
Well, and that's what I was saying earlier, because I think we can walk in the realm of our identity, even in the secular environment, like in my job, right?
For that.
I work for a very big company, and they're a pretty liberal company, and yet I can go into certain places and change the atmosphere.
The atmosphere, yeah. Yeah, we're change agents to the surroundings and atmosphere, because they press down on people who do not understand or have the authority to make the shift in an environment. I walked in to a job site, and our foreman was about ready to quit, and I saw him there in the job shack, you know, and it was a large project down in the heart of Seattle, and I said, "What's going on?" And he began to just say, "I'm done." And I said, "Well, let's pray together, because this guy has just been holding explain. Meetings with the general contractor owned by two men that were related. And they were bullying and picking. I mean, they were just mounting assaults against our guy, and to where he had to bring a tape recorder, put it on the deck, and record every conversation, for which they go into a rage. Bottom line, when he and I prayed together, the Holy Spirit showed us how to pray, and then we spoke that into the control systems of that job site. The next day, now this has been going on for 6 months, the next day, these people were dramatically, not a little bit, dramatically different. And I began, and we made contact, and he said, "You won't believe what just happened." And I said, "Well, tell me." And he told me, and I said, "Come on, this stuff works." Right in the heart of the business sphere. And it stayed that way. We removed the influence that was pressing these men who were not believers, nor did they have the authority to come out from under us. So therefore, they were actually being pressed against our company. And when that was removed, they defaulted back to who they normally are, which is finer men.
Yes.
And the bottom line, it affected the profitability of that job. I mean, this stuff works.
It does. And so what you're getting back to, and I'll bring it back to the beginning of where we kind of launched into this discussion, is the potential for a God encounter in our lives. And so what we're describing here is really things that follow, I think, that is it fair to say that as we have encounters with God, that the favor of God will follow with us?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the residue of his presence lingers. Mark, I'm thinking of a home encounter that we did in the Edmonds area. After the people left, I mean, the place was packed with people, even down the hallways and stairwells. And then finally, when everybody left and all the massive cars, you know, went back to their homes. The fact is that one of the children of that family, who was in his early 20s, I believe, came upstairs and made his bed for two nights in the living room because of the lingering residue of the presence of God that was still there after that meeting. Yes. Here's a radical one for, and I'm wondering how this will go over the air, but we did a home encounter at another place. This is in Shoreline, and it was so big that we had to move the people outdoor to contain them. So it was in the backyard, and there was a house next door that began to turn up its rock and roll. And I just quietly, for a moment, inquired of the Lord, what do we do with that? Because that's really distracting what's going on with worship and also with the Holy Spirit is beginning to move, the people are getting healed, and all of a sudden here comes this blatant pounding of rock and roll out of nowhere. Well, I knew it was coming from the house on the other side of the street. And got instruction from the Lord, and I just took a moment, and I spoke to the influence that was dominant on that, over that home, and as soon as I spoke it, it fell silent. Now, you should have seen the eyes of the people. It's kind of like the, you know, the back area was full of people, you know, all in chairs lined up, you know, as we, and it was just a wonderful thing that God did. In fact, the lady with a stress fracture on her ankle, as the Lord touched her, the pain began to lift, but then as we began to walk with her, it completely went away, and she was healed that night after suffering for quite some time with it. That was a kind of anointing that was there that evening, but even to the place of influencing the neighborhood. Just kind of fun.
I love that, because you're really describing
an encounter.
Yeah, you're describing an encounter. You're also describing the what happens as we become carriers of his presence.
And, you know, you run into oppositions to the move and the presence of the kingdom upon the earth, and God gives insight and shows us that we have authority to shift things and to just let the kingdom touch the earth by the authority of his decrees and the instruction he gives to his people that believe. God gives faith so that you can believe, to continue encountering his goodness, his kindness, and his love for people. And again, Matthew 6, what's in heaven upon the earth? You know, and it's just really incredible. The Lord's Prayer so magnifies that statement, on earth as it is in heaven.
You know, Herb, I was thinking about the importance of worship and how it creates an environment for a move of God to come. And it also sometimes creates the proper environment for teaching and counsel and prayer and all the things that happen in the corporate environment of church or within a meeting, right? And I started thinking about those things. What are the things that are really key for me, and, you know, to encourage or create the right environment for me to have the proper level of communion with God? And one of the things for me has been, well, I've got three in particular that I really focus on in my life, which is, one is spending time with him. You know, if you don't spend time with your, as Herb and I were talking about earlier, if you're not spending time with your wife, how is she going to respond to you? And so it's the same way with God, is that we want to give him our time, and we want him to spend his time with us. He's always there willing. He's never short on words. So if we position ourselves to spend, we actually give him of our time, then he usually has something to say. And then a second thing was that I really had to begin to pray with more faith. And as I spent time in prayer, I not only allow time for him to speak to me, but when I'm speaking to him, my prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. So that I want to pray a supernatural prayer of faith, that the things that are happening in heaven could happen here, that people could get supernaturally healed, those that I am around, as a carrier of his presence. So as I walk in faith, there's things can begin to happen that are beyond the realm of understanding. And as Bill Johnson says, right, if you want the wisdom that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up your right to understand.
That's really good.
It's really good. And so we're starting to talk about the things that that I think make up a great, you know, a supernatural lifestyle, but they start with disciplines. And disciplines are good, but they're not alone a substitute for our encounter with God. I think these are merely things that can help bring on and create the environment where God can move. And then the third thing is, which you've already touched on, Herb, is that really my attitude towards others has got to be otherly. That I have to extend value to others in all of my relationships. That, you know, it's so easy to be cynical and critical in this political season that we're in. But we are better than that. And one of the things that we can do is we can speak life into others. We can encourage others. And as you just got through saying, there is so much life in encouraging others. And you literally can see their disposition change. And boy, just get around someone who's never been encouraged, never been told that they have value, and watch how quickly they open up to you and how soft and responsive they can be to people when they actually hear an encouraging word. So those are three big things for me that I think really put me in the right position, and they're things that I can control that create the proper environment for God, for God encounters to occur.
That's really good, Mark. I love it. And that's what God is about, ultimately, is it? Loving his people. And it's the kindness of God that brings people to repentance. But then even after the kindness of God leading them into an alignment with his heart, he doesn't leave us alone after it's over of that very first step into his heart. But now he positions us so that we will continue to experiencing him. You know, we're using the word encountering, but also experiencing of the same meaning. And also we find out that this isn't do's and don'ts and principles and that are dry in a church setting. We're dealing with the fact that he has experience with us. Father, we're amazed at your goodness, and it's bigger than we know, but also the fact that you long for us to come into an experience and walk with you. You wrap your arms around us. You bring affirmation to our value. You give us destiny and purpose. You unconditionally love us. And yet there's nothing like a moment of your presence. And for every person that's hearing Mark and I share today about encountering you and the home encounters that's in the region that we're enjoying, I'm asking, Father, that your pursuit would bring the listener into an encounter with you that's afresh. Father, there's something about an encounter with God where people can never be the same. And this is what we're longing for. And God, we've discovered that's your heart. You pursue us to encounter us, to love us. We ask that in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Herb. Some great reminders and a great prayer to unlock the potential of encounters for each and every one of us. And just the most amount of encouragement that I can leave each and every listener is just a reminder that it is for all of us. The kingdom of God is for each and every one of us. And if we ask, God is faithful. He will answer. He will always draw near to those who draw near to him. Friends, we also like to take this opportunity to remind you that summertime is a tough time for ministries. As you may not know, gifts to ministries like Sought Out Radio are down during the summertime as many people are traveling and on vacation with their families. And by all means, that is something we really, truly believe in. But what we also believe in is that our listeners will help support and keep Sought Out Radio on the air. Would you pray today and ask God if he would have you partner in keeping Sought Out Radio on the radio today? We are looking for partners to partner with us in prayer and also in financial support in keeping Sought Out Radio on the air. If this is something that you feel like God is leading you to, won't you reach out to our radio staff today? You can send us an email at radio@isoughtout.com, or you can go to our website and follow the links to giving at isoughtout.com. And we thank you in advance for your gifts and your support to Sought Out Radio. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again here next week, right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Radio, you can do that at isoughtout.com.